Hello and welcome to This Day in Esoteric Political History from Radiotopia. My name is Jody Avergan. This day, December 21st, 1983. We're building this entire episode, folks, around an event on that date, December 21st, 1983, which we were clued into by an 8-word email from a listener, Joseph. And so Joseph's email, I'm going to read it in its entirety, says, Gerald Ford played himself on Dynasty in 1983? And I should be clear, that email, it's 8 words, and it ends in 4 question marks. So it's, Gerald Ford played himself on Dynasty in 1983? And then Joseph, our listener, provided a link to an article about Gerald Ford appearing on the hit soap opera Dynasty 6 years after leaving office. It was a very, very brief appearance. By my count, 6 words. So we're doing this episode around an 8-word email about a 6-word moment on television. Hopefully we can find more words to say about it than that. Let's see. Here, as always, Nicole Hemmer of Vanderbilt and Kelly Carter Jackson of Wellesley. Ready to say some words?
Yes. Well, we can keep it suitably short because Gerald Ford's presidency was quite short as well.
Oh, wow.
Burn.
Look, we're going in for the digs really early on.
Let's do it.
And I was also thinking,
Michigan.
I was also thinking, like, have we done really talked about Ford? We should do an accounting of presidents we've talked about. I don't know how much Ford we've done. And,
we've spent a lot of time.
And I guess we're doing just this very small, very strange moment. But, you know, we can get a little into also like...
Have we talked about presidents as actors?
Yeah, so we can get into a little bit of that and cameos especially too, which this was. Either of you ever watched Dynasty or just kind of have a sense of it?
I miss that.
Yeah. I mean, I have a sense that of it as being me. Like very lush and luxe and like a celebration of the greed is good ethos of the 1980s. But it was just a little bit before my time.
Yeah, I was like a little generation before all of our times, I would say. And yes, I have a sense of it as, you know, over the top soap opera, but in prime time. And then also just like massive era where like, all of America was tuning into this same sort of thing. So it is a big deal for anyone to show up on Dynasty and a big deal for an ex-president to show up on Dynasty. He plays himself. It doesn't really play anything, right? I mean, I guess we should describe how these 6 words come about. My impression is it sort of seems like an accident of sorts.
I mean, it mostly was an accident. The producers had arranged to have the actors in Dynasty mingling with a real life crowd. You know, you want to have one of these big crowd scenes where everybody is dressed very fancily. And so they're like, well, instead of hiring a bunch of actors, let's just go to a big ball being held in Denver. So they go to Denver's Carousel Ball. It's this big annual charity event. It draws like rich and famous people from across the country. And some of the people who happen to be there include Gerald and Betty Ford. And when the producers see Gerald and Betty Ford, they're like, we could have the former president on our show. Why don't we make the ask?
Yeah,
you want a line? What I think is crazy about this, too, is that the producer, Shapiro, basically says, like, listen, you can't be president and not be an actor. Like that. You're like, he's got this. He can handle it. We'll give him a line and see how he delivers. And he does. I mean, it's a short... I'd say it's more than a cameo because cameos, I don't think, that are speaking roles. It's just sort of like you happen to see the person on camera. But he has a one-liner, which is he's like greeting some of the characters on Dynasty. And he just looks the guy in the eye and says, Blake, it's wonderful to see you. And that's sort of like, that's it.
6 words. Blake, it's wonderful to see you.
Yeah.
And Blake is Blake Carrington, who is one of the sort of leads of Dynasty. And that's, you know, well, let's get to the reviews that Ford got in a second for this role and how he delivered. But I just want to sort of highlight that they're filming this at this real event, this real charity event in Denver, which is where the show is held. This, by all accounts, is the only time the show actually shot in Denver. You know, the show was shot probably in L.A., I think. But, you know, here they go to Denver to an actual real-life event and then have these actors in character wandering around and mingling. As I was reading this, it occurred to me, you know, it was kind of like blurring the lines between even before Ford shows up, you know, they're blurring the lines mm-hmm. between the sort of real life social elite and the social elite portrayed on the show. And it's kind of like, mm-hmm. I was thinking, like, if Succession went and shot at like Davos and had the characters yep. of Succession like wandering around at the Aspen Ideas Festival or Davos or whatever. And, you know, I don't really know. Like we said, we haven't watched Dynasty. I don't really know how sort of like cutting it was about the rich elite. I don't think it's like it was as much as Succession. I think it was more a glorification. But I'm just trying to think it from the perspective of the people at the charity ball. Mm-hmm. You know, what's it like? But I just think like fame is fame and the cameras are cameras. And so like even if these characters are wandering around and at some level like they're awful characters who've done awful things, you're still going to feel good about them being in. And I think if the Succession characters showed up at Davos, people would embrace them. Like it's just this twisted thing that happens when something's on TV, even though it's ostensibly a send up and these are awful people. But it is this very interesting milieu, even before you then stumble across the ex-president. And wedge him
in. I feel like we've seen this a lot more though in our like contemporary moment. Like I just remember seeing the Black Panther 2 and like Anderson Cooper's mm-hmm. in it playing mm-hmm. like himself. You know, like you oftentimes get journalists playing themselves in a lot of these films, which is sort of weird to me. Maybe it's meant to add like an extra level of like realism yep. or like, oh, it's happening in our current moment, you know, but like I don't know how I feel about that sometimes.
It's like, funny, actually. Like, I mean, yeah, you're right. That is a trope in a lot of, especially if you like action movies. Like, there's a mm-hmm, Mission yes. Impossible. I think Wolf Blitzer is in like every third action yes. movie delivering news about something happens. And yes. I actually saw Jelani Cobb, who we all admire and who's a friend, been on the show a number of times, and is now head yeah. of the Columbia Journalism School. I think I saw him tweet a couple tweets and be like, I really don't like this practice. And I think it like yeah. undermines yeah. and blurs the line between yeah. real journalism and fake journalism. And it's sort of like laundering the credibility of people like Wolf Blitzer and Anderson Cooper. I'll be honest, it doesn't bother me. It Jelani's objections felt a little too kind of like precious or old school or whatever. And I'm just kind of like listeners
it's are, definitely are, old school.
Yeah.
But I do tend to agree with him, but it has a little bit of flavor, the flavor of, you know how the White House Correspondents' Dinner became kind of nerd prom?
Oh, yeah.
And it's that yeah. mingling of high-powered journalists and high-powered politicians, yeah. and then all of a sudden there are all these celebrities everywhere, and it just shines a spotlight on the way that those worlds mingle in ways that are uncomfortable. But I don't think that in the early 1980s that was the way people were reading this at all. Like, it was just like, yeah, this is yeah. so cool. Here are these, like, we get to have this glimpse into the lifestyles of the rich and the famous, and oh my God, here's a former president. Like, this is sweeps week kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I think it matters, though, that he wasn't the current president.
Correct.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? Like, I think the fact that he's out of office, because I think had he been in office, people were like, you got time to take up roles? Like, you've got time for this? No, you don't have time for this. But we have seen presidents, or at least elected officials in office that have, like, been on SNL and, like, you know, gone on, like, I don't know, Jimmy Kimmel or The Tonight Show or whatever. Like, you do see sort of that superficial side.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that he's not in office is huge and probably doesn't. I mean, yeah, the White House Correspondents' Dinner I really dislike, and it's just like always felt just like, I can't believe they do this, and it's felt so icky to me. But I think it's in large part, well, there's a difference between journalists and politicians and so on, but also in large part because it is the people who are actually actively in office. You mentioned, Kelly, some of the other instances of this, you named a couple, but we can get into that in one sec. Let's tie a bow on Ford's appearance on Dynasty. So he has this line, I guess Henry Kissinger was also there and also makes an appearance
on Dynasty.
On Dynasty, and you know, talk about characters who deserve no laundering of reputation, you know,
but who appears on everything, one, like Kissinger,
but appears on everything,
being around famous
yeah,
people,
yeah. But Kissinger and Ford both received a $330 union payment for their appearances.
What? They're SAC members.
I suppose, Kelly, that's the distinction between they weren't just there and they uttered a line, all of a sudden they get paid, and they have a bit part. They got the $330. And it made an impact. People noticed it, and obviously Dynasty's huge cultural force. It was a little bit new, though we'll talk a little bit of some of the precedents. And it got, like, reviews, right? And so Tom Shales, the legendary TV reporter for the Washington Post, you know, maybe it was just a slow week in TV or he was just having fun, but he writes an entire column reviewing the six-word line and the delivery, and he basically pans it, right? And he says, Gerald Ford looks no more convincing playing himself on Dynasty tonight than he did playing at president for a few years. Pretty rough.
Burn.
But, yeah, exactly. I don't know. I feel like if you can't deliver a six-word line that's literally, hey, nice to see you, then maybe it does say something about your political acumen. You want to talk about some other moments when politicians have shown up on TV? I mean, maybe let's start with something you mentioned, Kelly, about like sitting presidents. Mm. George W. Bush, 2008, spring of 2008. He's an outgoing president at that point. Mm-hmm. He's not going to run for re-election, but he's still the president of the United States. He appears on Deal or No Deal and shakes the hand of a veteran who is competing on that show. And I remember at the time feeling a little icky about it. He does offer what I think is a pretty good line when he's on that show. He says, I'm thrilled to be anywhere with high ratings. So a little bit of a you know, understanding of where he was by the spring of 2000.
Wasn't great. Yeah. And I also think that the veteran thing matters, right? If you can tie it to the military, then you get a little bit more of a pass.
Get away with anything.
Yeah. Well, go no.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, but it's also like, you know, how you have these like celebrity charity events. Mm-hmm. I mean, Deal or No Deal is not charity, but it feels like that when he sort of shows up.
And he's not playing the president. Right. He's just is the president showing up on a show. Joe Biden's on Parks and Rec.
Love that.
He's not president at that point, but that was a nice, I know you're
Michelle Obama. I'm a huge fan of this show. So like John McCain is on there and Madeleine Albright is on there and Michelle Obama is on there. And of course, Joe Biden, who is Leslie Knope's secret love interest, is on there twice. And it was pretty great.
And then we should do a proper episode on this, but let's just name check that, you know, a lot of this does go back to that Richard Nixon appearance on Laugh-In in 1968, where he delivers the tagline. I went on a bit of a Laugh-In rabbit hole before this episode, and it's just like, how do I put this? To think that that show was thought of as cutting-edge comedy is just a remarkable thing, because I'm like, what the hell is this show?
It's an artifact of its time.
It is certainly an artifact of its time. And like that Nixon's appearance made like incredible waves and felt like TV was never the same again. And it's just like, you know, it's sock it to me. It's forward.
Sock it to
right?
me.
And it is like, yeah. And he says, sock it to me. And apparently, I guess that was the tagline of the show. And it was a big deal that he was saying it. And if you know the internal, you know, humor of the show, you understand how big of a, and you know Nixon's background, you understand how big of a, to me, I was just like, all the cultural signifiers were just like going right over my head. And I was like, what the hell is this?
We have to do a whole episode on that. I'm going to say,
I suppose we should do a whole episode. And I'll just give that exact same rant again and be like, I didn't get this at all. And but, you know, here we are. But yeah. I guess
And we should just say there also was a president who was not just a SAG card holder, but was SAG president, Ronald Reagan.
Reagan.
But yeah.
That
too is a story for another
time. They should have had Reagan.
That's right.
Yeah.
He wouldn't have deadpanned. He would have been good.
He would have sold it.
Yeah.
Our pal Adam McKay, who is no fan of Reagan, loves to talk about how his line is like, this was a man who was most famous, whose most famous role was acting opposite a monkey, and then we elected him president. You know, it's like, and of course, you know, Trump was reality.
We've
TV
done worse
show
since.
Oh gosh, yeah. And listen, so, there's no more acting found in reality TV than in any other genre.
Yeah, yeah. But anyway, there we are. And look, see, Joseph. You send us an 8-word email and we get about 15 minutes out of it. So it can be done. Listeners, please send us emails. Let's put this challenge out there. Can you send us a 7-word or less email?
This is like a name that tune. An episode? I can send you an email with 4 words.
Yeah, exactly. But anyway, thank you to everyone who writes in, and thank you to Joseph for inspiring this episode. And that brings us to the end. Nicole Hammer, thanks to you as always.
Thank you, Jody.
And Kelly Carter Jackson, thanks to you as always. 5 words, thanks to you as always.
My pleasure.
Radiotopia.